I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Every team has tried to improve during the, you know, free agency, but for us, you know, for the Bulls, it's more, you're looking at the teams that were at the top six. They've been together for some time, three, 4 years together. We've been together since October. So we're going to be better just again, second year being together.
Steve Rosenblum, it's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It was Arturis Karnisovas doing his own version of Suckage, of shoveling it, of doing it. Talking about continuity, which I believe is what you do when you don't have money, salary cap room, draft choices, or an awful lot of hope or ways to get better. So you run it back and call it continuity. And that's what the Bulls are doing. Welcome and welcome back to Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. The Bulls play their final summer league game. Their stuff of interest. They play it tonight. We're going to go out to Las Vegas. We thank Rob Schaefer of NBC Sports Chicago for joining me. I'd like to thank you, Rob. I know that the game's tonight, and I know you're happy I called because there's really nothing to do in Las Vegas during the day, whatever, to kill time. So I know you're glad that I could take up some of your time this afternoon. Right, Rob?
Indeed, Steve. And I'm not even in Las Vegas. I doubt many are, as you said, kind of for the end of summer league here. It gets a little dreary towards the end. Although I think, you know, as of right now, every Bulls player of interest, there aren't many, but everyone will be in the game tonight. So it should be interesting to watch.
That's my bad. So in watching this, what we've seen so far, wins and losses aside, we've seen Dalen Terry and Marko Simanović play against players they're used to playing against and being effective and stuffing stat sheets and doing, at least from what I could see, doing what they're supposed to do, which is a low bar. I mean, if you got dominated in summer league, if you look like crap, then you'd think, oh my God, this is like, where is this going? So give me, again, with the caveat, it's only summer league. Give me your assessment, your scouting report, your evaluation of what you've seen of who I think are the two most important Bulls summer league players.
Yeah, I'll take them one by one. Dalen Terry, the first round pick this year. I think the description of he's doing everything he's supposed to do is pretty spot on for him. And I say that not only because of the way he's played, but he also, to my eye, has gotten better each game of summer league. The first game he looked a little bit out of sorts. He's not necessarily a player that you're necessarily going to give the ball to in isolation and, you know, have him go get his own shot. He's a pretty good passer. He's looked really, really good defensively. I think that's been the biggest takeaway for me, is it looks like that area of his game, you know, should translate fairly quickly, which is big for a player who I think is considered to be a project. The jump shot, I think he's over 40% from three, but it's only on seven attempts. and some of the misses haven't looked good. So I think that's still a work in progress. He looks good in transition, in the half court, maybe not so much offensively. But his last game was his best one. He had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He shot the ball well. I think he'll look even a little bit better, look even a little bit better in a true NBA setting with NBA-level talent around him, because he's a guy who's going to be playing off the ball. He's a slasher. He's a connecting piece. He's a good team defender. So I think with a better team context around him, he'll look even better, even though he has looked pretty good in summer league. As for Marco, it's his second go-around. He was a rookie last year, didn't really get any time with the big league Bulls, spent a lot of time in the G League, performed really, really well in the G League. But, you know, even for a team that was so thin in the front court last year, couldn't really crack the rotation. I suspect there was the Bulls were wanting him to play with a little bit more physicality, put on some weight. He's up, I think, 25 pounds from his rookie season this offseason, but still, you know, is a little bit slender compared to some other big guys. I think what I've noticed from him in summer league, it's kind of consistent with his NBA career to this point. Against some of the, you know, lower level competition in terms of summer league front courts, he's played really well. He's had 2 double-doubles in the first game, an overtime win over the Mavericks. He had 3 blocks to go with 27 points and 13 rebounds. Looks pretty good. He's pretty skilled for a big guy. He can pass it. I think that's a big area of growth that he's shown. But his worst game was against the best team that the Bulls played, and it was against the Knicks and a center in Jericho Sims, who's, you know, maybe going to be in their rotation this year. He phased in and out of it last year. So I don't know what to make of it in terms of projecting a rotation role for these guys. I think we'll know more in training camp. I think the expectation right now is neither of them probably start the season as key guys in the rotation, and there's probably some G League split time, especially for Marco. But we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, at the very least for Marco, he's improved from this time last year, and Dalen has improved game over game, and he's shown some of the versatility that motivated the Bulls to draft him.
Well, bringing chaos to a team that has nothing else going for it or questionable things going for it because you don't have maybe that rim protection, you're not shooting like you should. Bringing chaos was what the Bulls did exceptionally well when they did have a healthy roster, which I don't believe they'll ever have again. But I think that will be, that'll get back to what we saw in the first half of the year, an exciting team where I don't know what they're going to win, how they're going to win. I don't know how many games they're going to win. But I think that kind of chaos plays to the profile of what Eversley and Karnišević are putting together. Am I right? Am I wrong? Is that how this looks to you?
I agree with you as it relates to Dalen Terry, and it's why I think people saw that he's listed as a guard and questioned the fit of the pick a little bit. And obviously, this front office, they make draft picks for, you know, potential, for upside, for who they think is the best player available. So I don't think they were necessarily going to draft for fit anyway. But even though he was listed as a guard at Arizona, Dalen Terry, he's 6'7". He's got that 7'2 wingspan. He had the reputation of being a very active and disruptive defender, but I was curious to see how it would look against pseudo-NBA competition. And it looked pretty good in summer league. I mean, he's really good timing-wise. He had a couple timely double teams. He forces turnovers. He gets in passing lanes. He's pretty fearless. Like, he'll go in and, you know, there was a moment in the Hornets game the other day where he broke up an alley-oop attempt that was going to Mark Williams. That's a 7'2", kind of monstrous physical big man. So, you know, he's fearless in that respect, likes to get out on the break. As I said, he loves playing in transition. That was the Bulls' formula at the beginning of last season when they were their most successful, forcing turnovers, getting out on the break, and juicing both their offense and their defense that way. So even though positionally people question the guard fit with Dalen Terry, I do think he fits the style of play and what it seems like Arturis Karnišević's broader basketball philosophy is. So really, the defensive stuff is what intrigues me the most about Dalen Terry. I think there's work to do in terms of refining his offensive game, but, you know, he'll have a lot of time to do that, and we'll see if he can crack the rotation coming into the season.
My guest is Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago. We're talking Bulls here on The Score, and Rob joins me on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So my guy Kevin at the old Chicago smoke shop in Highland Park had this question for me as a Bulls diehard, so it means he's aggravated and enthusiastic and in an opposite forms of the same words. Why does AK draft players in a shooter's league? Why does he draft guys who can't shoot, especially for a team that needs shooters?
Yeah, I think I guess it's a little bit case dependent. And the distinction to make is that Patrick Williams and Ayo Dosunmu have shot the ball at pretty good percentages in their NBA career. The problem is they don't shoot for volume, and they're not necessarily threats to get up shots. They don't really get guarded in the way that that's really the key to, you know, functioning in the modern NBA, is not only shooting at a high percentage, but shooting from the outside enough that it actually changes the way opposing teams defend you. I guess I don't really know. We'd have to ask them on a case-by-case basis. I would think, just looking at the way that this front office is drafted, I would think they just value the physical tools a little bit more. Like, you look at some of the guys, Marco aside, I think Patrick, Ayo, and Dalen all fit this profile of defensive-minded, long, athletic, multi-positional. I think, and with the ability to, you know, play, make a little bit, pass, and put the ball on the floor. It seems like they are willing to bet on guys with that physical profile improving their jump shot over time. Now, all these guys are too young in the league to know if they're going to have a successful track record doing that. You know, Ayo, especially entering his second season, and Patrick not playing a lot of his second year, I'm not going to, you know, make any final declarations on him yet. But it just seems like their broader philosophy is, you know, we'll bet on the physical gifts. We need to add defensive-minded guys, and then we'll see if we can improve, you know, the technical skills like the jump shot once they get in the league. To me, the more confounding thing was that in free agency, they really didn't go after guys that were more proven shooters, because that's, to me, that's where you go after fit, is on the free agent market when you're dealing with more proven NBA level guys. But that certainly projects to be a weakness of this team yet again next season, is shooting from the outside.
Well, when they said run it back, I don't want to see running it back bad shooting or lack of outside range. I just,
yeah.
And running, the problem with run it back is Lonzo Ball's injury made him an MVP candidate, because you saw a first place team barely stay out of the play-in setup. And that showed his value to me. Caruso there too. But Lonzo Ball at both ends, and he's never been injury free. And they're running it back, seemingly the success of which is based on having a true point guard, guy at both ends, a guy who sees the court, a guy who makes everybody else better, except he can't get on the court. Am I overstating this? How do you view the situation with the Bulls saying we're going to run it back and Lonzo Ball is and they're humming a trying to explain when he might be there?
I don't think you're overstating it at all. I think Lonzo Ball's health is the biggest story of the offseason, because he is so important not only to the defensive identity but the shooting aspect. I mean, it's a guy who was shooting 40%, over 40% on over 7 attempts from 3 a game. Him and Zach LaVine are the only, you know, dudes on the team that stretch the floor, you know, to that extent in kind of an elite way. So it's certainly a big concern. And I think what it points to, like the word continuity that's been thrown around a lot, like you said, the idea of running it back. The question for me is, do they end up running it back, or do they end up getting continuity with the group that ended last season, which obviously didn't have Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso was banged up too? Or do they end up getting continuity with the group that started last season and, you know, it was great for the first half? That all depends on Lonzo Ball. And I think if they end up running it back and valuing continuity with the group that ended last season, you know, we saw how it ended. The post All-Star break stretch was brutal. They stole one game off of Milwaukee, which I honestly think exceeded a lot of people's expectations. But then they followed that up with two of the worst home playoff losses in franchise history. So I wouldn't have a good taste in my mouth from the end of last season in terms of this group together, unless not only is Lonzo Ball back, but Lonzo Ball is 100% healthy. It doesn't seem like he is. Like you said, they've danced around updates with it, but I think AK kind of gave the most forthcoming update to date. That's not to say that it is forthcoming, but just the most forthcoming one to date about how he's progressing, but not at the speed that the Bulls want. So, you know, we'll see how he looks. I think the next tentpole is training camp. You know, we'll see how he looks. But even if he's back, if he's not at 100%, you know, efficiency for, you know, what he showed at the beginning of last season, you know, you're in danger of taking a step back, because the improvements that made were marginal at the end of the day. Like, they're almost banking on Lonzo Ball coming back and Patrick Williams being healthy for a season as being the key additions of the offseason, which would be great if you could rely on Lonzo specifically health-wise. And I think, to put it diplomatically, I'd say that's a question mark at this point.
Rob Schaefer is my guest, NBC Sports Chicago, talking Bulls here on The Score on Saturday Suckage. So if there's, I mean, Dragic is here, he has a professionalism about him. I'm more interested in what you think, that if, for argument's sake, NBA players work to improve one thing in their game each summer, get better at this, get better at this, get better at this. Aside from stamina and going through a long season, what would be the one thing you would have Io do and how it would affect the Bulls?
That's a good question. Yeah, other than the stamina, because I do think there was some burnout that came into play with him towards the end of last season and the league kind of adjusted to him a little bit. To me, I would just hammer catch-and-shoot jump shooting. Because you saw in that Bucks series, his defense and really his passing and his, you know, his ability to see the floor was so valuable to the Bulls as they were weathering the storm of injuries in the backcourt through the middle part of last season. But in a playoff environment, I mean, he just wasn't the same player. And he, you know, he was behind Kobe White in the rotation at the beginning of that series. He ended up jumping him. Both of those guys projected to be on the roster at the beginning of the season, so they'll be, you know, important reserve pieces one way or the other. So for Io, I think he's obviously already a plus perimeter defender. He's already a guy that you can run offense through, you know, for a couple minutes a game, which is really all the Bulls need. I mean, even regardless of Lonzo Ball status, this offense flows through Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. So I think his ability to not only shoot a high percentage from the outside from three-point range, which he did last year, but get up a couple more attempts a game and be a little bit more of a threat to pull, you know, as soon as he catches, I think that would be the next step for him. And, you know, if he can be that type of player that is taking four or five threes a game and still shooting in the high 30s, I mean, that is the prototypical 3-and-D wing archetype that this Bulls team, you know, really without, you know, if Lonzo isn't healthy, like really is lacking in terms of two-way players up and down the roster. They need guys that can contribute like that. So for Io, that's what I would say as the key improvement area. With him, I know, there's a lot of question marks up and down this Bulls team, but I think he's one that you could feel good about just because of the improvement that he showed over his rookie season, that he, you know, could add something to his game going into next year.
All right, call him up, tell him you rebound for him. You get out there every day, you know, 1,000 shots, and you'll rebound for him, and then you can write that piece, Rob. You have inside information.
That sounds wonderful. I'll be sure to bring that up.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. I'll play this tape back for everybody who might need to hear it. Thanks for your time, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks for taking time out Saturday.
Thanks, Dave. No worries.
All right, Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago, coming to an as an IO rebounder near you. All right, we take a break. Before we get back, we will come back, and we will take you up to Cubs pregame. First of a two games of a doubleheader, 12:45 pregame, 1:20 first pitch, and then evening game split doubleheader today. So coming back, the Stanley Cup was in Chicago. It's a story so sweet, you could get diabetes from it. And speaking of that, Disneyland had a birthday, SpongeBob SquarePants had a birthday, and Harrison Ford, Han Solo had a birthday. There's another Star Wars news. If we get to all of this, we'll also get to Cowbell, because that's what we do, and Larry the Cable Guy. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Boy, you just heard it, right? Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Rosenblum. It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Damn right it is. Welcome and welcome back. Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. Stanley Cup came to Chicagoland yesterday. I was given this heads up by this cranky old man named George at my Trader Joe's. And that's why we get along, because we're both cranky old men. It came to Northbrook. JT Comfer of the Avalanche brought it to Northbrook, and the reason why, that's where he grew up. Quote, without Northbrook and my family and my friends, I wouldn't be the player I am today or the person I am today. He took it to the Northbrook Sports Center. This was from a story written by Tracy Myers. This is just a lovely story about a great opportunity, great when you bring the Stanley Cup home. Usually, we've seen it recently, it was the depraved, sick organization that did it, or it was Chris Chelios that brought it to Wrigley Field as a member of the Red Wings, and you go, get out of here. Here's JT Comfer, local guy. He won a Stanley Cup, first time in his life. So he's sleeping with a cup. His day began at a family home where he, his parents Bob and Valerie, and sisters Jesse and Morgan and girlfriend Sydney got the cup around 8:30 a.m. So he didn't really sleep with it, but he had it in the morning. And they served breakfast in it. You've heard all sorts of stories of things going into it. The JT Comfer home. Quote, my mom has been making chocolate chip pancakes since I was a kid. That was the first thing. Add a little syrup in there. He ate chocolate chip pancakes and syrup out of the Stanley Cup. I love that. I'm telling you, this story is so sweet. You can get diabetes from it. He slept in his room. Her son's got a photo of the one including the Joe Sakic bobblehead doll. Mom Valerie has a photo of JT Compher with a Joe Sakic bobblehead doll. Joe Sakic was the GM who signed him. And they won a Stanley Cup with the Avalanche. And then he brought it to Northbrook Sports Center. And there were about 500 people there. He gave a speech. He signed autographs, took photos, talked with fans. It was a wonderful show, a wonderful community moment. The next stop was the Landmark Inn at Northbrook Tavern. For those of you who know the late, great John Mullen, he used to play in a band that played the Landmark Inn on a regular basis. Well, this place is packed, and they were playing All the Small Things by Blink-182, which the Avalanche were playing during the third periods of their games at Ball Arena. That was blaring in the background. And that's how the Stanley Cup comes home to Northbrook. I love that story. You go, JT Comfer. You go, local guy. 67 years old today is Disneyland. Disneyland is 67. I grew up going to Disneyland. The Matterhorn remains the greatest roller coaster ever. It was, you never forget your first, right? The Matterhorn, you waited 2 hours in line for a two-minute ride, and it was all hairpin turns, and now you're at the bottom, and you go, oh, got another 2 hours.
Better than Space Mountain?
I will say this. Oh, yeah. Well, it's my first. You always remember your first, right? What was your first roller coaster? What was your first great adult roller coaster, Caesar?
It definitely had to be something at Six Flags out in Gurnee. I think it might have been... the one that Superman replaced, that they had to replace it because it's actually getting a little too dangerous. I think it might have been the Shockwave, it was called.
Shockwave was replaced itself. Everybody was getting concussions because your head banged against it so far. Although I did like it. Those were really three tight loops in a row. And that was, I remember banging my head against it. Go, okay. So I don't. Well, it's a Matterhorn for me. Is it? Space Mountain, is that yours? Is that your roller coaster? Is that it? Is that home? Is that
if, the base? If I had to pick a favorite overall, it'd probably be Raging Bull currently out in Great America. That's a great, I mean, that first drop always gets me. I love Raging Bull out of Great America.
I've just so lost my nerve. I don't do that. I've so lost my nerves. Used to be fine. Used to be great. I'd go on American Eagle, forwards, backwards, whatever you got. But I've lost my nerve. I'm not interested in that. I'll just sit over here. I'll be the guy with the wine watching you do that. So Disneyland turned 67, the happiest place on earth. This is, Caesar, you'll be a judge of this. Turning 36 today, SpongeBob SquarePants. This was the debut. Were you a SpongeBob SquarePants child, Caesar?
No, considering I'm 1 year older than SpongeBob, apparently, that was a little past my time, no.
Really? You could have watched it. I don't know. I'm just asking. I knew SpongeBob's working on a second generation. How about this? You fixed for this? Turning 56 today. Barry Sanders.
I definitely
you know
seen
who
him.
We're talking about?
Oh, I definitely seen Barry run. Yeah, you know, to me, he's still, I mean, blasphemy, right? Walter Payton, Chicago Bears, but I mean, come on, Barry Sanders has got to be 1B, right?
He was the most fun to watch, and the most fun to watch people try to tackle him. And everybody, I think it was Mongo. Mongo compared it to, especially that scene in, I can't remember which Rocky it is, Rocky 85, whatever, where he's trying to catch the chicken, where he has to catch the chicken. That's what it was like. That's how many people compare trying to tackle Barry Sanders, a man who would take your breath away on a run for no gain, and it would take 35 seconds.
because nobody can get him down. He's going left, he's going right, he's back. He's just, that's the kind of guy he was. You know who turned 80? And Grody should be here for this. Harrison Ford turned 80 this week.
I just watched Fugitive Grody, last night.
Did you? You find that man. Grody should be here. You find that man. You stole the probasic. So of all of those, what do you think? What do you think? What's the greatest? What's the best? What's the most notable Harrison Ford role for you? What did you like him best in? We're talking legendary parts of a career, right? We're talking Han Solo. We're talking Indiana Jones. We're talking from Dr. Richard Kimball. So which is it?
It's got to be either Solo or Indiana Jones, right? I feel like, who knows, right? But he's got to have made the most money off of those two characters, right? And he's got to be most known around the world for those two characters, Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
I would think so. That would be it. It was, but he's that other role. I had no idea that originally in he teamed up with George Lucas. He was in American Graffiti. I don't know if I ever knew this. If I did, I forgot. There's a drag race scene, and he is the loud-talking Bob Falfa, and they're doing the drag race scene. And I thought, completely forgot about that. And he ended up getting one of the roles because he was a carpenter working on somebody's house. Somebody was championing him, and, hey, you know, come in, read for this. And it worked out. So he said between Indiana Jones and Han Solo, and then one-offs like Sergeant John Book in Witness and Jack Traynor in Working Girl. I forgot he was in Working Girl. And that was just... that was hysterical. And a favorite of mine, because I just love Scott Turow, Rusty Sabich in Presumed Innocent. And he was Alan J. Pakula's first choice. Plus, he played Jack Ryan in a couple movies. And, of course, Dr. Richard Kimball. It all leads to President James Marshall. See, we need Grody. Get off my plane. I can't do that. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry I subjected you to that.
Apparently, there's a new Indiana Jones coming out next year. It's going to be Indiana Jones 5, and he will be playing the role again as Indiana Jones. So that'll be interesting to see.
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Walker?
Just says Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, fine. Yeah, there we go. Great. Okay, you know what? I'm also celebrating a birthday today is Will Ferrell, 55. And the thing about that is, as noted by Carl Quintanilla of CNBC, Carl Quintanilla is my favorite, combining the world of business and culture. He's the zeitgeist of that. In noting that Will Ferrell turned 55 today, which I had no idea until he tweeted it, that he noted Will Ferrell's role in the More Cowbell sketch. You remember this, right? Right, Caesar?
Of course, of course.
Aired on SNL. I know Studs would go crazy for this. Aired on SNL in 2000. And the famous part of the line was, famous part of the scene was not just Will Ferrell with a cowbell in the guitarist's ear, but Christopher Walken as a producer. I got the fever, and the antidote is more cowbell. And from that, the whole cowbell thing, Christopher Walken could not escape it. Folks would ring them at Walken's Broadway shows. He's on Broadway and they're ringing cowbells. Waiters, he said, would ask if he wanted more cowbell. And I love that that's where it devolved to. I hear something for the I'm Fat podcast that they need to, you should pardon the phrase, weigh in on. This comes from Larry the Cable Guy. Have you ever brought your own Oreos to a Dairy Queen to get your Blizzard exactly the way you like it? It's this level of excellence that's made me what I am today. You ever done that, Caesar?
You're telling me you're going to bring a package of your own Oreos to the Dairy Queen and tell them this is the ones you're going to use in my ice cream?
Yes, use these Oreos because I know they're authentic and they're real. And this is the amount. The amount that you want in there. Maybe you want double stuffed Oreos. They're not offering that. You bring your own Oreos. Have you ever brought your own ingredient to a place and done that? I can't imagine doing that, but Dairy Queen would be a place to start.
I've never gone to eat at a restaurant and wound up bringing my own food with me. I think that kind of defeats the purpose, no?
No, if you know you're getting mostly what you want, and then you say, all right, this is what I need. This is what I want. I want the double stuffed Oreos.
I mean, I've heard of places where they give you your food to cook it yourself. It's something like that, like on a grill or something in front of you. But I've never heard of going to a restaurant and bringing your own stuff with you. No.
You go to Dairy Queen. Here's maybe you want to bring your own peanut butter cups. Go, hey, I like these are the bigger ones. I don't want the minis. I want the bigger peanut butter cups like that. And you bring your own, why wouldn't they use it? It would save them some product, help their inventory, and you could bring your own. This is a wonderful idea. We'll see how Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp feel about it. We'll let them weigh in on it. All right, that's Saturday Suckage for today. Cubs pregame is coming up next. If no one important listened to the show, I'll be back next Saturday. Thank you for listening. I suck so you don't have to, but it's just a public service. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.